Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
Today, I want to read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, beginning at verse 16. And behold, a man came up to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he, Jesus, said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." And then a few verses later, we read this. The young man said to him, "All these I have kept. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, that is, if you would inherit eternal life, go, sell what you possess, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come then and follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. In 1989, the late Stephen Covey published a book entitled The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, presenting an approach to effectively attaining your goals by aligning yourself to what Covey called the true north principles of a character ethic, which he emphasized were timeless and eternal. Covey explains all the habits, but the third habit he discussed for a while is entitled Put First Things First, which emphasizes the character quality of true north and distinguishes between the important things of life and those that are simply urgent or pull at us. And he says to always set our priorities by true north, to set them on what is important. In the story of the rich young ruler we read a moment ago, Christ's message to the young man who was seeking eternal life was that the eternal priorities of life should guide the decisions, the direction, and destination of our lives, and in particular his life, making Christ and his teachings and example the direction of our lives. Easy enough, right? Open your Bible, read, then take off. Really? But as we saw, it wasn't so easy for the rich young man who met Christ, and it may not be so easy for us to figure out. His priorities were all about stuff. We're all about recognition, not the important things of life. And so he walked away depressed with the choices that were before him. Leave all of his stuff, leave it behind, or walk away from Christ. Those were his choices. Walk away from Christ and the eternal life that he was promising him. And as far as we can see, we read he walked away from Christ with all his possessions. We don't know what happened after that. While standing right before him as he walked away was the one who would provide eternal assurance, identity, and everlasting peace that he sought. And he passed it up for the temporary, it would be gone when he passed from this earth, the temporary worldly comfort, power, prestige, recognition, and fame that would all be gone when he passed from this short life on earth to a longer life, eternity in heaven. Or that's what he was hoping for. So, on a day-to-day basis, my friends, how do we live that life focused on the important things that Christ calls us to? How do we determine what is important versus what is urgent? How do we define and discern the important priorities of our lives? What priorities guide your life? Are they important or are they simply urgent, simply things that pull at you? Are they aligned with what Christ says is important, or are they aligned with what the world says is important? Our son Nathan is a sacred gift to his mom and I and a priority in our lives and always has been, as is our daughter-in-law, Amy, granddaughters Hannah and Ellie, and all of our godchildren everywhere and family. Even though it was many years ago, I still remember vividly the moment that occurred well. Nathan was in high school and I was practicing law in Gainesville. I was faced with a career decision, which I wrestled with for weeks, trying to get to a place of peace about what I should do. A vacancy had occurred in one of the judicial positions created by the early retirement of one of our judges in the area. A special election would be held to fill the position, and a number of friends and members of the local legal community came to me and encouraged me to run for the seat with a likelihood that I would be elected if I did run. I had been privileged to clerk for two highly respected federal judges and learned by their example how a judge should behave with humility and respect for everyone who came before them and for the rule of law. I always felt a sense of calling to serve in the capacity as a judge as they had served and taught me. But I was struggling with the decision before me, which seemed obvious to others who were talking with me. And then driving home one day after meeting with some friends about that decision, the lesson Tom Landry learned came to mind. I had read about that in his book called Landry. Before Coach Landry accepted Christ as his Savior and Lord, football was his God, his most important priority. Early in his career as the defensive coordinator for the New York Giants, he was respected by his peers as a football coach, but his family was not a priority in his life. But when Christ became his first priority, when he accepted Christ as his Savior and Lord, then Christ made his bride, Alicia, and his children the next highest priority in his life. His career, coaching football, eventually for years as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, was somewhere down the line of priorities. So, now back to my decision that I was struggling with. At that time in my life, Nathan would be entering his last year, his senior year in high school, and I'd been coaching him and his baseball teams for years. As a judge, my schedule would keep me from not only coaching him, but would cause me to miss most of his games and moments and other events of his senior year of high school. The answer to my dilemma became immediately clear. I was his dad first. Being a judge was somewhere down the list of important other things. Instantly, a sense of peace came over me, and to this day, I still remember exactly where I was when I made that decision and felt the peace of God about it. What was important to the rich young ruler was all of his stuff, his money, all he had accumulated, his position, his status in the world, recognition by others, and fame, which he held on to very tightly. Christ knew all of that was his God, his idol. He knew that about him, and it was keeping him from becoming all he could be and from the eternal life that he was seeking. The young man needed to change his priorities, and Christ knew that for him to do that, he would have to give it all away. Through that parable, as best as I can discern from my study, Christ is not saying that we need to give everything we own away, but he is saying that if we can't give it away or share it, then we do have a problem with what is truly important in our lives. If we don't see our talents, our time, and treasures as God's gift to us to share with and use for others and his kingdom purposes, then Christ is likely talking to us as well, to you and to me, as he was that rich young ruler, that young man that came before him. Look, there is nothing inherently wrong with all that stuff. I've said that before, except when it begins to determine and measure our worth and our value in our minds and hearts, except when it becomes more important than the truly important and eternal things, like the time we spend with our spouses, with other special people God has given us, with our children, grandchildren, godchildren, friends, or in sharing Christ and his love with a world of people needing a lift up in life. Let me close with a story I've shared many times and with some of you before. It's the story of a father who finally found out what was truly most important in life, and thankfully, not too late for him to change. For you see, he was a very successful businessman who finally found time from his busy schedule to take his 12-year-old son fishing. An achiever and a very efficient one, this man considered leisure to be an extravagance. And so, after a long day spent catching nothing, the pair returned home. Waste of time, the man grumbled to his wife that night as they got ready for bed. Didn't catch a thing all day. Waste of time. His wife turned to him and said, maybe you should read this, and handed him a small book that his son had shown her earlier when she was putting him to bed. It was his son's diary, and in it he had written, best day of my life. Went fishing with my dad. It changed more than the man's mind. It changed the man. It's a point, my friends, that I need to hear. It's something that we all need to hear. It's a change we may need to embrace before it's too late. And it's a lesson that we need to internalize in our lives to begin to have the impact and leave the legacy that God intended for us to leave. What are the important, the eternal things of our lives that we should be embracing and doing today? Because one day, we are going to come face to face with the reality that our time on earth is over, and maybe even more striking will be the realization as we go along that we can't do the days and years of our lives over again. One time around to leave a legacy of stuff and things the world says are important, or a legacy of fingerprints on the hearts of those who are less when we're gone, but more, so much more, because we were here and we cared. One time around to leave a legacy of worldly success and fame, trophies and statues that gather dust, or a legacy of eternal impact, writing our names on the lives of many who, because of us, will one day step into heaven. One time around to leave a legacy of impact in the lives of all those around us who needed some help from us, living our lives aligned with the important and the eternal priorities of Christ, and leaving a legacy of eternally changed lives because we were here. One time around, let's make sure that together we get it right. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you. Thank you for always poking us. You do it. You're good at it, but we need it. Thank you for this reminder for us to step back and focus amidst all the stuff the world says is important, to focus on what you say is important, what you want us to do, all the gifts, the talents, the resources that you've given us, all the abilities are here for us to use, you've entrusted to us, to use for the good of others, for your glory, and especially to introduce them to you as their Savior and Lord, so that when their short life here on earth is over, they will live forever with you. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for all you do for us and with us. Thanks for your Son. And it's in his precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.